I just said, but it's not coming together. It just wasn't. And, you know, when you try to study God's word, you want to hear from him. And so I felt that I said, well, Lord, am I trying to help you out? And I said, it's not coming together. And lo and behold, it was not even a week. It came together. And it was the Lord speaking to me. And so before I can speak to you, he had to speak to me. And so I prayed that as I speak to you, he is speaking through me. Amen. So, there is tangible proof that if we look back, many of us, we had a mother, a grandmother, or maybe some maternal figure. It could have been a teacher, could have been a mentor, someone that had a profound effect on us. And as we pause today, I just want to, if everyone can just go ahead and clap it up for, as we celebrate mothers today, so that we can appreciate those people that God has placed in our lives. Amen. And so with that, I thought, well, you know what? My mom had a profound effect on my life. I texted her this morning. She texted me back. I'm her only daughter. I'm the youngest. So, y'all, this move was hard for her. It's hard for me, but it was hard for her. And so I thank and praise God. And so as I began to study God's word, it was just one of many examples that came out and just popped in my head. And so before we get into this word, I just thought, well, why was that so profound? But you know, God has a way, and I thank God for revealing. He is a God of revelation. So I'm not sure, and I know, thank God, I'm on this side of the hill still. But I tell people, my mother had me later in life, so I have a whole lot of old school in me. And I'm not sure if any of you guys remember, everything is so instant in our society now, 35 millimeter film, that camera. And matter of fact, my husband, 2 days ago, he said, what is 35 millimeter film? And I said, that was my response. Oh my. Like, everybody knows if you, what 35 millimeter film was. But anyway, that was, and like I said, I don't know why, but growing up, that was one of the highlights of the things that I did with my mom. She loved art, so she loved music. She loved taking photos. We had photo albums upon photo albums. But one thing that I really enjoyed, and I have no idea why, it fascinated me. You know, when you took the picture, you would actually advance on that camera to get to the next frame, right? And so as you took the pictures, and by the time you got to the end of the roll, you know, it would just keep winding and keep winding and keep winding, so you knew you were there. And so when it got to the end, that, like I said, I don't know why it fascinated me. So my mom allowed me, she would tell me to carefully open it, and I would just roll ever so slightly that roll back into the film, right? And then we would be able to go to, you know, some store. We would fill out this envelope. I don't know. I mean, I'm talking, you know, Greek or something to some people who have no idea what I'm talking about. So ask your mom or ask your grandma or ask your big mama or ain't them, okay? But so we would go to the store, drop this roll in the envelope, lick it, you know, and my mom had perfect handwriting, but I would just enjoy, like, writing and putting, you know, what we wanted, doubles, or if we wanted also, you know, the slides along with it. And then about, you know, a couple of weeks later, 14 days or whatever else, we would go back and pick up our pictures, right? And that was just so amazing to me. And so our destiny, like that film, is tied to our development, okay? You see, God is not looking to discover you. He is looking to develop you. Jeremiah 1 and 5 reminds me that even when I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. So nothing catches God by surprise. See, he's not caught off guard, and he doesn't have to say, whoops, that slipped, okay? So you are not an accident. You are supposed to be here, and you have a purpose to be here. You see, we are all faced with challenges and battles and problems and situations that try to keep us from our destiny. The enemy, he tries to use the darkness. To keep us away and think that that's our destiny. The enemy wants you to think that your destiny is tied to your past. You see, it's in that darkness that the past, what you used to be and what you were, that does not make you who God has created you to be. You see, in the darkness, we are developed and not discovered. The enemy not only wants to steal your joy, but he wants to steal your identity. You see, it's in the dark room that God is able to do some things that only he can. So in those dark room experiences, and I don't know about you, but I thank God for my dark room experiences, because it was in that dark room that he was shaping me and making me and molding me to who he wanted me to be. I thank God for the dark room. And so as a mother, we often can lose our identity when we bring life into the world. You know, we're called upon to nurture our children. We want to help them to grow. We're called upon to nourish our children and to feed them and to clothe them. And our lives are spent giving and doing whatever we can to give them the best life. And sometimes if we're not careful, see, we will drop everything for our children. Yeah, if you're going to be real today, just sometimes we'll drop everything, but we have to be very careful that we don't lose our identity in the process. See, God wants us to keep a healthy balance of this thing. He's given us these children. However, he should be supreme and reigns in our lives. And sometimes we get it twisted and put our children before the Lord Almighty. It can be said that the mother that we're going to look at today, she never knew her identity to begin with. Mothers have an incredible capacity, you see, to look beyond themselves for their children's sake. We look beyond ourselves in order to provide for them, but parenting is just as much about our relationship with God as it is about raising our children. Yes, parenting, and I said parenting because I know it's Mother's Day, but hopefully somewhere around about, God is may gonna step on your toes today. So even if that title and that role doesn't fit you, you'll be able to take something away here today. Parenting is just as much about our relationship with God as it is about raising our children. And I said, well, God, well, how is that? And he gave me the best example. If you've ever flown before, You get on and you get some instructions from the attendant. And see, I listen because I don't want nothing to come up on me. I'll just give you a little slide and this is for free. But when I'm on a plane, I'm praying. I got my three A's. Lord, keep them awake. Keep the pilots alert and keep them aware of what's going on around, okay? But when you get on, the attendants will give you some instructions, and they say that in the event of an emergency and that there may be some type of loss of cabin pressure or there's an altitude that changes, there is a mask that will drop down, and they tell you to secure your mask first, right? Even if you have little ones. Why is that? Because the oxygen is important for you in order for you to help somebody else. And so just like I try to give wisdom to young mothers, and if you've been in the game a little bit longer, that you've got to take care of you before you can help somebody else, all right? And so your relationship with God, in order to feed, you've got to be fed, right? So therefore, you've got to feed yourself with the word of God in order for you to feed that to your children. See, being a mother shouldn't change who you are. It only reveals who you are. And so just like that film, I'm so thankful that we get the picture, but newsflash, that particular picture was already on the frame. It just had to go through a process to be developed. You see, we can't be so quick to lose who we are when we're raising our children, because the degree to which we see God in our lives, and most times, is the degree to which we will show him to our own. So we're going to look at the life of a mother today. And before we do that, I'm going to open up in prayer. So that was just a slight introduction. I know you said she's not going to pray. So if we would, we can go ahead and bow. Father, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you, God, for, God, this appointed time, God. I ask that you would allow me to decrease, God. Hide me behind your cross, Father God, that your people may hear from you. God, help us, Heavenly Father, God, to be the better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to look at the life of this mother. This life is Hagar. Yeah, see, that's what I said. I heard, and I said, you know what? Hagar gets a bad rap. Hagar gets a bad rap. And I you know, this spoke to me so much, and I don't want to get ahead, but I saw some of me in Hagar. You see, Hagar has her own story, and Hagar is her own person, not through the lens of Sarai. And just like you, me, we have our own story, and sometimes we're looking through the wrong lens in order to see who God sees we are. You see, I'm sure Hagar's dreams of becoming a mother look nothing like what she experienced. She had dreams of becoming a mother, but see, God was developing her. You see, Hagar demonstrates a lot of faith and trust, even though she wasn't raised to know God. But she found out who he was through our own experience. And so that told me that I don't have any excuses, and nobody else has any excuses. No matter how you were raised, you can still experience God all for yourself. Let's look at Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. Genesis chapter 16. And I'm going to wait. I don't assume everybody knows that's the first book. That's why we come here. Genesis chapter 16, I'll begin at verse 1, and then I'll skip down at the end and pick up on a couple of verses. I am reading from the New King James Version. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne her no children, and she had an Egyptian maid servant. Some translations say slave, whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram, watch this, heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be on you." See, that's kind of how I read it. Like, she was trying to get an attitude. "I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes." I can only imagine, like, her neck was rolling, and like she was trying to give Abram the business, right? "The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand." That's kind of his little clap back. "Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah." That was, I guess, the nice name that she put there. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Skip to 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." My God. For she said, Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahar Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Beard. We thank God for the reading of his word. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about Hagar's genealogy, although some historians have tried to portray her as the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Most scholars simply refer to Hagar as just an Egyptian slave whom was given to Abram's household while he and Sarai were in the land of Egypt. And we know that there was some backstory and some lying and some stuff, and you're my wife, but now you're my sister. And, you know, Pharaoh just said, "You know what, I'm going to give you some stuff, but you got to go," right? So since Hagar was a slave girl, then Sarai was legally entitled to do as she pleased with her. Watch this. Although it was legal and was consistent with the custom, it wasn't still a part of God's plan. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that Abram and Sarah ever went to the Lord to ask him whether the plan was his way of fulfilling his promise. And you see, Hagar was only a plan B in someone else's scheme. And see, maybe you feel like you are only a plan B. So if you've ever felt cast out, discarded, or abandoned, Hagar can feel your pain. And perhaps if you're wondering if how you feel and who you are matters to anyone, there's good news when we read Hagar's story. See, God loved her so much. How do I know that? Because he had eyes for her in her pain and loneliness. And I just hear the songwriter says that, and I know that he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, but I know that he watches over me. He saw her, and God sees you in your pain and your suffering as well. See, he has plans and a hope for you. Jeremiah 29 and 11 tells me that he knows the plans that he has for me, thoughts and plans of a hope and a future and an expected end. So nothing catches God by surprise when it comes to my life. And he will use any and everything to accomplish his will, even if it's another person's sin. You see, you are never God's plan B. Oh, that spoke to me because, see, I know a lot of us, y'all, and I'm finna have to get off of these notes, but a lot of us sometimes we think that God has for us, well, God is good to everybody else but us. Or to God is good to everybody but me. I know that God is good, but God ain't good to me. Huh. But God is saying that I know you and I see you in your pain. And I know who you are. I didn't make you. You are not an accident. I created you and I shaped you and I formed you. And I know who you are and I have a purpose for you. You see, Genesis 50 and 20 tells me that Joseph was a plan B for his brothers. And see, Joseph said like this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. So it doesn't matter what you're facing and what you come up against, you can turn and look to that problem and say, you know what? I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. And so it's a dangerous thing for those who have heard from God to be outside the will of God. Yeah, that brings me to my first point. And I had to keep it concise, so I don't know what's going to be on that screen. And I'll try to remember to tell you what that first point, second point, third point. The first point. We see a problem, y'all. Oh, yeah, the chapter starts out with a major problem. Oh, it does. And I thought, wee! Got that from my husband. I thought, Lord have mercy. We got a major problem. Because Abram and Sarai had already heard a promise. But because they wanted to help out God, that promise became a problem. You see, someone else's issue becomes Hagar's problem. And see, in life, we have enough that is thrown at us, and we got enough arrows that are coming at us that I ain't got time to deal with somebody else's issue. Yeah, I got my own issues. And if the truth be told, everybody in here got their own issues. So you can just look at somebody and say, I got my issues. I got my issues, right? And so I didn't say that I'm not concerned about your issues or that I don't care about your issues. I said that your issues are not my problem. Why? I'm glad you asked. I heard. Your issues are not my problem, because why? When there's a problem, you what? You like to fix it. You want to solve it. You see, as mothers, we want to step in. And not only, it was stepping on my toes, we not only want to help them out, that we want to bail them out sometimes. And see, in this new generation, the new millennium, some of you guys may have never heard this concept, but there's a concept called helicopter mom. You say, what is a helicopter mom? See, you're looked at as the savior to come in and come down and rescue them and pick them up out of a problem. But God arrested me and said, Joycelyn, you are not God, and you can't help solve somebody else's issues. Otherwise, it's going to become your problem. You see, as mothers, we are called upon to figure things out. And kids in this generation don't know how to fail. Newsflash, it's okay for them to fail. And I work, and I say work, but I love spending time with children, and I love acronyms because it helps me remember. Even when I was in school, I would just make up acronyms for things. But it's okay for them to fail. F-A-I-L. Failing just simply means, or fail is just the first attempt in learning. You see, we must never forget that falling down doesn't make someone a failure. Staying down does. And so when it comes to our children, we can't be buttoned up and walking around like we ain't never had a problem and we have never failed. We have to be transparent and take that thing off so they can see us for who we really are, in order for us to reveal who God is. Failure can be a great teacher when you understand that failure is the first ingredient for success. See, problems will never cancel your purpose. Yeah, problems will never cancel your purpose. Now, problems may try to frustrate your purpose, but Isaiah 54 and 17 tells me that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So although those problems will try to frustrate my purpose, it will never cancel my purpose. But see, what kind of life could Hagar expect with the problems she now had? Let's just be honest. I don't even know. And I thought, Lord, what situation have I ever been in? And I thought, Lord, I didn't got too deep. I didn't messed up. How many of y'all just been honest with the Lord? You look and you like, whoo, I messed up. Right? See, Sarai's impatience brought pain and conflict to many people. Let's look at verse 3. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Sarai got impatient. Sarai messed up. When Hagar becomes pregnant, though, watch this. She was this slave girl. She was this maid servant, and she was in the household of Abram, but she was to do for Sarai all the things that she was required. But when she found out she was pregnant, y'all, that meek manner, something changed, right? She got arrogant. Something came over her, and she wanted to, put her hand on her hip, right? Something changed. You see, her disposition and even her disposition changed when her position changed. Some folks call it funny acting, nice, nasty, whatever you want to call it. But see, jealousy and comparison and anger and worry and anxiety and insecurity, unforgiveness, see, all of that start creeping up and coming up. And if you're not careful, if you don't deal with some stuff, you'll be put into the crucible of life. And some things that you didn't know that you had in you, they'll start rising to the surface. And you said, Lord, where did that come from? But God is simply telling me to tell you today that he is trying to develop you. And so through this process, it may hurt. You may have to cry sometimes, but that's okay. Say, that's okay. That's all right. You know, there's a phrase that says, hurt people hurt people. And so when things get hard, we sometimes run rather than stay and face the music. You know, they say if the kitchen, you know, you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. But sometimes that heat just gets a little bit too hot, and you say, well, Lord, I can't stay right here. I got to go. And see, that's what Hagar did right now. Hagar's decision to run away from home and life itself was one of panic. Let's look at verse 6. So, Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Y'all, she was on the run. But what caused her to run? See, Hagar's pain caused her to run away. That's the second point, if you're keeping up. Being true to her name, but because of God's great love for her, the angel of the Lord meets her face to face. And all I'm just trying to tell you, no matter what you go through, that God is willing to meet you right where you are. This is called a theophany. And I had to go ahead and get, you know, the Bible scholars, those are you guys in here that are smarter than I am. And theophany, the definition of that is, that's just simply a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus himself. You see, God went looking for her and showed her his manifold grace. He tells her what's ahead for both her and her unborn son. We're going to deal with her. God tells her, though, you need to go back. Why? Because what I have planned for you is greater than your pain. He said, what I have planned for you is greater than your freedom right now. But Lord, I got to go back to pain? That's in there. It's in the word of God. He tells Hagar to go back. He gives her, however, at this point, a new understanding of her purpose in life. I'm so glad God is a God that reveals, y'all. I said that to begin with. And if we just look and listen, God is revealing some things about who you are. She decides to return. God's word to Hagar came in somewhat of a two-part or two-step, I call it an exhortation. He tells her to arise. He tells her, get up. Go back. Return. She got to move. That means in faith, y'all, we got to move. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says that we walk by, we sit in faith. No, we walk by faith. That means you got to keep picking up one foot and put it down, pick up the next foot, put it down, pick up the next one, put it down. No matter if you're walking, if you're crawling, if you're stumbling, that you got to keep moving. Okay? You got to keep moving. And then he also told her in these words, fear not, I got you. Because why would God make me go back to pain if he didn't have my best interest? He tells her to arise, and he tells her to go back. And see, the Lord does the same for us. He reminds us not to fear, yet expect us to move. He expects us to move. You see, he expects us to move in faith, which is fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was nobody but God that could keep her in that situation. So when he tells me I gotta go back to pain, I gotta trust that he is the one that's keeping me in this thing. That it's not in my power and it's not in my might, but it's only because of God's grace that I am able to stand here. Just like the three Hebrew boys, they threw in three, but somebody said, looks like there was four. So it lets me know that God is able to keep me in all situations. You see, when you put your trust in the one who knows best, this was good right here. The present pain will eventually turn into your greatest gain. Yeah, see, there's no such thing as a pain-free route in life. I'm talking to somebody. Starting a business is hard. Getting an education takes discipline. Raising your children takes endurance and patience. But the reward of that is worth fighting for. And so in that, you stay in the fight. No matter what that pain is, you say, God, you got me. And God is saying, I got you in this fight. God is saying, I got you in this fight. You see, even if I don't do all the right things when I'm raising my children, I'm commanded. The Bible tells me to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart. So even if I'm in the midst of that fight, and even if I'm in the midst of that struggle, I've got to stay in that fight because God has commanded me to do so. You see, God's promise that he has given you is dependent on God and not you. God's promise that he has given you is dependent on God and not you. The road to destiny is often the road less traveled. Why? Because it's the hardest route to take. You see, I've come to realize that there is joy in the midst of pain. And in the pain, I've learned that faith and hope and purpose can provide me strength to put that one foot in front of the other and just keep moving. And so even if I'm on that hard road, you can rest assured that you're on the right road, because if it feels like you are climbing up a mountain, my God, that means I'm headed in the right direction. I don't know about you, but if every time I'm able to walk and skip and take the easy street of life, then I know I must be outside of the will of God. Why? Because I know that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and that God has told me that he has come that I may have life. And so if I am having some type of pushback, and if I'm having something that's fighting against me, I say, you know what? I must be on the right road. You've got to trust the destiny that God has for you. And even if you're in pain, it's for his purpose. You see, where have you come from and where are you going? It was two questions that were asked. That's in verse 8. That's my third point. If y'all are keeping up with me, I'm going to get there. Verse 8, he says, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And see, when God revealed to me, he said, you know what, Joycelyn, I'm not saying and asking. Those aren't questions just about her situations at the moment. That was temporal. He said, I am asking in order that they reflect her past as well as her future. You see, Hagar answers truthfully, but not completely. Watch this. He asks the question, and what does she say? I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress. You see, Hagar states where she's come from, but she doesn't state where she's going. So that lets me know, and that told me that Hagar, she didn't have a vision for her future. She doesn't know that there's a plan for her. Hagar has an amazing encounter with the true and living God. He gives her the strength to go back. And so because of that, we know that it was God who gave Hagar protection. That's that next P, if y'all following along. He gave her protection. And then I had to ask the question, well, did the Lord change her situation? It doesn't look like it. And if you read on in Genesis, oh, things got a little rough, got worse. So that let me know, that even in the midst of my pain, like Paul said, he asked 3 times to remove that thing. But God's reply was, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. His love, the Lord gave her the grace to endure. But see, even as a slave, and that's what I was trying to figure out, she fled, God. But God said, you know what? Sometimes I have you, thank you, Holy Spirit, in situations, and you don't even know that I'm already there. Watch this. Hagar was a slave. However, she already had protection because she was in the household of Abram. God knew that through that pregnancy, she was going to need food, water, shelter, clothing, and through all of that, she fled. God says, you know what? Even when you ain't thinking about you, when you out your mind, I'm thinking about you. I got your best interest in mind. She returned, however, not necessarily with any additional protections from Abram. The protections that she had from Abram were already there. And see, if you're not careful, to some, this command to go back, it may seem insensitive and maybe even oppressive. You say, God, why are you making me go back? The verses, though, that follow display God's focus on Hagar's future. You see, she's not going to return defenseless and with the same status, because we're going to get there, y'all, but Hagar is able to call God by name. See, she returns with a promise received directly and personally from God. And so when God has revealed himself to you, even though you got to return to some painful situations and some painful moments, you are able to say, you know what? God has revealed himself to me personally. And through this encounter, even though I may be in the fire, I won't be burned. See, just like the prodigal son, even though he wanted everything and he went out and had righteous living, the thing that I like about this is he came to himself. He knew the protections at that point, not only who he was, but whose he was. And he was able to go back and he was able to be robed by his father and fitted with a ring. And they were able to feast and celebrate with a fatted calf. But that was because he had a personal encounter and had a promise for his future. There is safety. safety in the arms of Jesus, and God's will never take you where his grace will not protect you. So where God guides, he will provide. This brings me to the last point, and I'm rushing. I don't know what my time is. God is the one who leads us and guides us. But he does require us, y'all, to start walking in faith. We got to walk this thing out. And so sometimes, even though, and I know it's good to tell it, we talk a good game sometimes. We talk a good game. But what is your walk saying about that talk? You see, with God, he was there and is the peace in and through every situation. The peace, however, is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of God in trouble. And so when Hagar cried out, God heard her affliction. He is the God who hears as well as the God who sees. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm crying out and I thank God because I say, you know, God, I thank you for seeing my tears. I thank you for hearing my cries. And so some of you say, well, what does that mean? No, I thank him because the Holy Spirit says that even if I don't know what to say, that he is able to make intercessions and make words out of those moans and groans and is able to turn that thing into a situation where God is able to understand what those tears are saying. She cried out in despair and helplessness and hopelessness, and he promises to hear us when we call, just like Hagar. See, God in Psalm 46, in one of my favorite verses, he is a present help in the times of trouble. God is immutable, meaning that he never changes. And so what he did for Hagar, then the same he will do for me. So also, if you are crying and if you are in pain, God sees you and he knows where you are. But he wants to give you wisdom and instruction, and he has to do that to develop you into who you are. And so as of comfort and encouragement, we cry out to God of who he is. We cry out to him because when we cry out to him as a mother, as a father, as a son, as a daughter, no matter what we are going through, he still hears us. The name that Hagar gives God, El Roy, it's a beautiful name. The meaning says that you are the God who sees me. There were many men in the Bible who were able to have encounters. Jacob and Abraham, when his name changed, they normally named the place where they saw God. Hagar got bold and she said, I'm going to give you a name. Your name is the God who sees me. By literally calling God, he sees me. Hagar testifies to her personal experience. And see, El is the Hebrew name for God, but when it's used of the true God of Israel, El is almost always qualified by additional words that further define the meaning that distinguish him from any other false god. And so God's face represents his person and his presence. But Hagar found God and had a personal encounter with him. And so for me, that told me that even in the midst when she fled on her way to the desert, on her her way to nothing, that she had a private encounter. And so even when you have a private encounter or a private deliverance, that still requires you to give a public declaration. It requires us to give a public declaration. And so my Bible reminds me that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In his presence, there truly is fullness of joy. And so as a single mother, if you wasn't ready and you're doing the best you can, but you're being depressed, and if you're an unwed mother, you're marginalized, if you're married, you don't know still what you're doing, God says, I see you and I hear you even in the midst of your pain. So even when you have a problem, even when you are experiencing pain, there is still protection and there is the presence of God through it all. And as I come to a close, I've discovered the freedom that is much more powerful than the facts. The freedom is much more powerful than the facts, and that's the truth. It's called the truth, which is the word of God. And so I long for every person here today to know this truth and this freedom for themselves. You say, well, what is the truth? This truth is Jesus Christ. Although there may be problems from the issues of life, the problem, y'all, will never stop your purpose. And the pain will never cancel God's promise for you. Amen. So if we can just go ahead and bow really quickly. I want you to think about any promises that God has made to you. I know a promise he's told me that I'm the apple of his eye. Stand on that promise. What he's given you. I mentioned earlier that you're not an accident. There are no plan B's for God. Rest in that truth. Even though you may have something or someone else trying to speak louder. Let us stand on that promise. God has a purpose. The most dangerous thing is for someone to have a question mark above their head saying, who am I? What am I here for? The enemy wants you to keep that question mark. But my Bible tells me that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Rest on his promise. Not what you're seeing. If you are doing the best that you can in whatever situation, if it's some pain and painful moments, understand that God is using that to develop you. Don't ask the question, why? Ask God, What do you want me to learn from this? What are you saying to me? Father, I thank you right now, God, just for your word. God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is alive and continues to speak to us. God, I thank you for each and every person here, God, that you have given a promise. God, I thank you right now, God, that you would continue to be all things, all sufficient in times of need. Father, I thank you right now, Heavenly Father, that even when the load gets heavy, you told us to cast all of our cares upon you. Your promise says that you care for us. God, and for that, we stand on that promise. I thank you. God, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.